Say good morning to everyone. It is good to be here. I don't know. I preach on average once a month, and I think I've switched up some, traded with people, and it seems like it's been a while. I don't know how many weeks it's been. So by the grace of God, we will see what he has. He has shown me some things. I'd like to start out with a short story. An old farmer at a church convention laughed when he read the program. "Preacher," he said, "it's funny how you folks go at this church business. You've had sermons and talks all day long on how to get people to attend church. Now, I've never heard a single speech at a farmer's convention on how to get cows to come to the trough. Instead, we devote all our time learning what to put in the trough. We try to decide on the best kind of feed. I sort of have a notion that if you put more time discussing what to put in the trough, you wouldn't have to spend all the time on how to get folks to come to church." So that goes along a little bit with what I want to talk about today. The title of my sermon today is "Feed My Sheep," and it comes from Jesus talking to Peter in John 21. I would like to first of all look at Acts 6 and read the first 7 verses of Acts 6. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." We've been talking about having an ordination here, and that's what drew me to this sermon today, thinking of how Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, and I also had to think of this, and how that those that were preaching were getting too busy doing other things, and they called on people in the church to do some of the administration of the work. And verse 4 says the reason so they could go on and continually, "and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, I believe that every Christian needs to have a daily time with God. We can't just once a week eat. And so this message, "Feed My Sheep," is specifically for maybe a minister of the word, but we also individually, even ministers, need to individually feed at Jesus' feet and look into the word. And verse 4 says that we are, or verse 3 says that we are to look within ourselves, amongst ourselves, to choose someone to do that. And I feel like we have qualified men here in church. That's one thing the leadership team spoke about. If we wouldn't feel that we had qualified men in church, then we wouldn't have even brought up the subject. And so if all the men are qualified, eligible, and able, how are we to choose? I think, first and foremost, we all need to be in tune with God and look to him for direction and that he will show us. And also, Reuben, last time he spoke in Titus of some of the qualifications of this man. Verse 3 here also gives us 4 qualifications. It says it's a man full of honesty and integrity, one to whom we see is full of the Holy Ghost, and one who is full of wisdom. With God's word and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I believe he will lead us in all truth and give us direction in this, of who we are to choose from among us to preach the word of God. And today, I'd like to look closer at what it means to feed my sheep. And so we want to look at the scripture here in John 21. Let's all stand and read together. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter,
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Thank you. You can be seated. And I first of all want to note that there's two types of love mentioned, or the original Greek has two different words for love in this passage, and the King James lists them all as love or lovest, okay? And so the agape love is a God love, unconditional, one-way love, and the phileo love is more like a friendship love. And so if I were to put this in my own words, Jesus asked, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, Yes, Lord, I phileo you. Jesus again asked, Peter, do you agape me? Peter answered again, Yes, Lord, I phileo you. And then a third time, Jesus asks, Peter, do you phileo me? To which Peter again affirmed that he phileoed or was a friend of Jesus. And I think it says that it grieved Peter. And I wonder how disappointed Jesus really was in his response that Peter couldn't commit to an unconditional love. I also found different Greek words for feed my sheep. The King James translates it properly. The first time when it says feed my lambs, that is the Greek word arnion, which means a lamb. And then the second and third responses, feed my sheep, the word sheep is probaton, which means just a four-footed, tame animal that will graze, and most commonly a sheep in that day. And also the word feed is different words in the Greek. Verses 15 and 17 uses the Greek word basko, which is to feed, but in verse 16 it uses poimeno, which means more to tend. I think there's other translations. The King James gives it as feed all three times. Does anyone else have another translation in verse 16 for feed my sheep? What does it say? Tend my sheep. It would mean to be a shepherd, more than just feeding, but to take care of. And so I've put together my translation of this. Here's how I see it. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me unconditionally above all others? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I'm your friend. Well, then feed my little lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me unconditionally? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I'm your friend. Then take care of my sheep, said Jesus. A third time he asked, Simon, son of John, are you really my friend? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I will always be your friend. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And so I believe that's for all of us. Are we just Jesus' friend? Do we look for something in return? Or are we unconditionally his? Do we love him with an agape love? We see that Jesus was asking Peter to feed his sheep, and in verse 16, to take care of, to do more than just feed, but to also take care of their well-being and being shepherd to them. We also saw in the first two times that Jesus asked him to agape him, to be his agape friend, or to love him unconditionally. but he reduced it to just being a friend as Peter was responding. Jesus desires for us to all surrender our life and give our all and to be unconditionally his. I believe Peter was useful in the building of the kingdom, and Jesus even said upon Peter's confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that confession, Jesus told Peter that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus knew this conversation back then too, but he said, I will build my church on that confession. And so Peter was a good man, but why would he not respond with an agape love? I think we need to also consider where we are in that. I've therefore divided the rest of my sermon into two areas. To feed my sheep is the first thing I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to close with an agape love. So to feed my sheep, and we see in the other translation that he says, feed my lambs. Lambs is a little sheep, under a year old. I'd like to note that sheep are also born as babies, same as all other animals and humans. We have a lot of young mothers here in church, and you know how much care and attention the little ones take. Sometimes they cry, and you don't know why. Maybe they're just crying. But a mother's love, just being there, even when you don't know, will help. And so, and also with new believers, babes in Christ, as it were, I think like a new believers class or a Bible study one-on-one, those are good things for new believers. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There is nothing better for a mother's milk for a baby, but we weren't meant to always be on milk. Hebrews 5:12 to 14 talks about this. You have been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others, but instead you have dropped back to the place where you need someone to teach you all over again, the very first principles in God's word. You're like babies who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. And when a person is still living on milk, it shows it isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong. He's still a baby Christian. You will never be able to eat solid spiritual food and understand the deeper things of God's word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right. We need to study the word of God to grow in Christ. The last verse, I think, is key. You will never be able to eat solid spiritual food and understand the deeper things of God's word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right. So I'd like to put this in reverse order of steps to grow in Christ. First, by practicing doing what is right, you'll learn from right from wrong and thus become a better Christian and understand the deeper things of God's word and thus be able to eat solid spiritual food. Think of a young child that has not been taught or doesn't know right from wrong. Do we first of all ask them to understand? We first ask them to obey. They don't need to understand. We tell them to do, and they will learn from it. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3 also talks about carnal Christians still on milk. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? To move from milk to meat is to give up self, to crucify the old man, to not be carnal, and to not be envious or striving with our brother. We see infants or toddlers doing silly things sometimes, and we kind of overlook that. What if an adult would still do those silly things? We need to mature in the spiritually also. I believe Paul was disappointed here with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 that some of them were still on milk. In Acts 20, we read that the servant of God must take great care in feeding the sheep. Acts 20, verse 28 to 29. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Ministers of the word of God, it's a big thing. Christ purchased his church with his own blood, feeding precious souls that have been redeemed. He must feed them properly so they become rooted and grounded so that when the wolf comes, they won't scatter. Second Peter 3:18 says that we are grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've randomly put together a list of the one who is called to feed the flock. This is not an all-inclusive list. This is not from a particular passage. It's not an order of importance. It's just a list I've come up with. And you'll recognize some of these as scripture. The one who feeds the flock must not be a novice or still be on milk. He must be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will need to be healthy in every way. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, socially, and financially. In every way, he must be healthy. And the older I get, I'm not totally healthy, but that's okay. I'm not talking about a perfect individual. And an individual doesn't need to be rich to be a preacher. But if money is his goal, he may be distracted. That's what I'm talking about, being healthy financially. We have teaching on that in the Word. He must have an intimate relationship with Jesus and be connected with the vine. One who feeds the flock must be aware of what the sheep are in need of and find appropriate green pastures. He will need to be aware of the sick and hurting and care for them as a shepherd does. He will need to prepare people to be laborers in the field. He'll also need to guard them against the enemy's attacks. One who feeds the flock must be able to rightly divide the word of truth and even explain it to the elementary students or the preschoolers. He must be studious and given to reading and learning. He'll need a flexible job. We can look at various qualifications, and Reuben talked of some in Titus. But today I'd like to specifically think of feeding my sheep. And I think we have people amongst us that would be qualified. Men who are already doing this, already reaching out to your neighbors, praying for your coworker, and spreading the good news. People that have a genuine agape love, I believe we have those among us. But let me say out of experience that some things will have to change if God calls you. I'm not talking that you would go from darkness to light. I'm talking your schedule needs to change. I've changed up some things in my life. God has placed a higher call, is placing a higher call on someone here. We need to manage time wisely. He needs to be a person that can manage time wisely and choose the most important thing. You may need to give up what you're currently enjoying doing in your spare time. And when I think of someone who is called to feed Jesus' sheep, I think of the food being God's written word. And I'd like to, if we could just go around, and I have some scriptures here that I'd like for you to read. So we'll start over here with Jeff. Matthew 4:4, and Louisa, Hebrews 4:12, Clifton, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Ephesians 6:17, Fond of Psalm 119, 105, Romans 15, 4. Mike, Romans 10, 17. Wilma, John 17, 17. And John 6, 63. There is nothing more powerful than the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. I know, I think I'm overboard sometimes. I think I should dialogue more. But I often, you know, my style is to let the Word speak. Let's see what these are just random scriptures. We can go on for a long time on these, but let's see what this says. Jeff. Amen. Louisa.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Okay.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped with every good work.
That's right. You want to give the scripture before you read? Go ahead, Fonda. Sorry. Amen. That was Jesus speaking. So powerful. So powerful. I'd like to next talk about agape love. And Jesus is looking for people to feed his sheep who have an agape love for him. In John 21:15, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That is a form of agape. It's the Greek word agapao. And agape, that's the root word. Agape is a derivative of that. Agape is meaning affection and benevolence. I read somewhere where it's a love feast. Somebody know what that means? I'm not sure. But anyway, so that's agape and agapao. And there's four Greek words. Did somebody know that there's four Greek words? I thought there was three. There's four Greek words for the word love. The first one is sturgeon. This is a natural love, like a mother and a child. And then there's eros, which is a sexual romantic love, like a husband and wife. And there's philos. This is affection between friends. Philadelphia is another Greek word meaning brotherly love. Hence, the town Philadelphia means city of brotherly love. We have a verse in Romans 12:10 that uses the word Philadelphia. Be kindly and affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And that's a derivative of philos. In all three of Peter's responses, he responded with a phileo love, a friend love. Now, eros and philos can often be motivated by self-interest, what's in it for me, self-gratification, and self-protection. There is often an element of giving, but it's also in wanting to get back. What can I receive? Agape, then, is a sacrificial, unconditional love. This is a one-way love, not expecting anything in return. This is the type of love God has to mankind. This is the type of love that we are to love our enemies, not expecting in return. This is also the type of love where we forgive those that have hurt or offended us. In Jesus' encounter with Peter, he desired an agape love with Peter. When someone is called to feed Jesus' sheep and he only has a phileo love, they may do okay with preaching the truth, but they may not care for the flock, or they might expect something in return. I have an object lesson here. Justin, what type of saw is this? Reciprocating saw. I think, is Sawzall a brand? Yeah, and this is a Milwaukee reciprocating saw, okay? And Mike, what kind of saw is this? This is a circular saw. Why is it circular? Because the blade goes around. Okay? I don't know that I have room for all this. This reciprocating saw, if I go real slow, the blade goes back and forth, okay? And so they serve different purposes. Anyways, we'll not keep them up here. That's too much of a distraction. The phileo love is a reciprocating love. The phileo love is back and forth. I give, you give, we're friends. The agape love is like the circular saw. It goes round and round. It has no end. It is one way. It is God's love. It does not expect anything in return. God, in Romans 5:8, says, he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why should he love a sinner? I was a sinner. I was no good. I was born a sinner, and Christ died for me. A phileo type of love is like a friendship love with common interest, expecting in return. We have an example of this in Matthew 6, verse 5. I killed it. Okay. In Romans 5:8, Matthew 6:5 is where I'm at. This is an example of phileo love. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love phileo to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Why did they love to pray there? So they can be seen of men and be recognized for their righteousness. Another example found in Matthew 23. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and in verse 5, he says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms of the feast at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And so they have their reward. They did it to be seen and to be recognized. They wanted to be somebody. To love life in a phileo love, in a phileo way of life, is what's in it for me. And we have an example of this in John 12:25. He that loveth life, phileo life, phileo way of love, he shall lose his life. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. We are to love life in an agape way, God's way. 1 Peter 3:10-11, for he that will love life, agape love, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And Jesus talks of both kinds, agape and phileo love, in John 15. These things I command you, that ye love, agape love, one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love phileo his own, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. God desires for us to change from a phileo, our natural way of thinking, to an agape love, to a one-way love, and to reach out to those that can't help themselves or can't repay us. That is what God did for us. He loved us in while we were still sinners. A person who is called to feed Jesus' sheep that has an agape love will do so much more than merely preaching the word. He will also care for them with a genuine heart of love. It is one thing to have a job of feeding the sheep and doing chores. It's quite another thing to be a shepherd that cares for them. John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flee because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus is the good shepherd with an agape, unconditional love for all. And he will put his life on the line for us. The hireling isn't going to do that. When the hireling sees the enemy coming, he's not paid enough to risk his life. The good shepherd will not only lead his sheep to green pastures and beside still waters, but he will also know them and be known of them. The good shepherd with an agape love will leave the 99, put them safe in the sheepfold, and leave them and go out into the dark night to find the missing one. And then two verses later, John 10:16 says, And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The shepherd with an agape love will also reach out beyond the church to others around him. The shepherd with an agape love will reach out to the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And I'd like to look at one more scripture today. Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus is our ultimate example of a good shepherd with an agape love. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. The shepherd with an agape love will have compassion that is moved to action. Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We see here that without a loving shepherd, without an agape love in the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Wolves will come in. There is many sheep today without a shepherd, and still today there is a shortage of laborers to do God's work in God's way. We need to first of all avail ourselves and then pray for the Lord of harvest to send forth more kingdom workers. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the food that we have to eat, God. Thank you for providing for our needs. Thank you for the word of truth, and thank you for being alive, that it is alive and life-giving. And I pray that you would help for us to look out from among us and to know whom you have chosen to preach the word, that your work could go on and souls could be nourished and we could be encouraged. We are encouraged by your word, and you've chosen feeble man to preach your word. It's a miracle. It's a God thing, and we give you all credit and honor and glory and thank you for how you've set all this up. And so help us, God, to feed on your word and to have an agape love and to share that with others. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.